Karin, what is the most important lesson you teach students in your master classes?
I basically focus on musicianship and band leading skills so that you feel confidence when you are up there leading a band and knowing and feeling in your heart that the music is the paramount thing. That's basically what I try and impart.
And I wanted to congratulate you on being added to the Newport Jazz Festival lineup.
Thank you. It's been a blast to be with these great players, featuring Randy Brecker, Anat Cohen, Clarence Penn, Larry Grenadier, Mark Whitfield, and myself. And we've been a lot of places this year, and it's been a real thrill to be on stage with them and in these beautiful halls we've been playing.
I really enjoyed your latest recording, Yuletide Hideaway. What was the highlight of that project for you?
Interestingly enough, and this happens to everyone, I suppose, when you're recording a holiday CD, you know, we actually recorded it in July, which feels a little odd, and most of it was done in L.A. One interesting fact was that we had the wonderful Lee Sklar on bass, and he's a friend of my colleague Chris Caswell, so it was a real gas to play with Lee. And Lee, as you're probably aware, is bass player for so many pop acts like Carole King, James Taylor, Phil Collins, you name it. He plays with them. So that was really a gas for me.
And could you tell me about your farewell performance concert for James Saker?
Yes, James Saker, Dr. Saker, was the lead band director when I was at UNO, and I'm a graduate. I was a piano performance major at UNO. And I played in a couple of his ensembles, but as a pianist, I didn't play in many of them. I'm a part of an event for him that is going to send him off into a beautiful retirement, and it's my thrill. I don't even know who else is involved in it, but I'm happy to be a part of that celebration.
Karin, could you tell me which jazz vocalist influenced you the most in your early development and why?
Yeah, early development, that's a good point, and that's a very good way to put it. I would say early on it was probably Nancy Wilson and Carmen McRae. I especially remember that beautiful CD, or at the time, LP, of Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley. And those songs just completely awakened my interest in making music and jazz, you know, with improvisation and telling a story and all of that.
How about Flora Purim? Has she influenced you in any way, shape, or form?
I sure remember the CD that she did with, the recording that she did with Chick Corea, and I used to do some of her stuff. So yes, I think she's probably the first Brazilian singer I may have heard way back when, for me, my career.
Now, she had a multi-octave range. I believe she enhanced her performances with electronics to make her voice go way up and all that. Is that something that you are interested in at some point, or are you familiar with that technique?
No, I think it's cool when other people do it, and I know Jay Clayton also does that. I really like her usages of that, but not that I know of. I can't say that that's my in my deck of cards right now.
What's your advice for aspiring jazz vocalists?
To go out and hear as much jazz as you possibly can, and not just jazz, of course, but everything live you can hear. And again, making music the most paramount thing. Play some piano. I think playing piano is a real good thing for every type of musician, drummer, saxophone player, whatever, because it gives you a really good sense of the music. I mean, if you can show yourself where a C chord is, if you can show yourself where an F chord is, if you can show yourself what a C7 and altered chords mean, that doesn't mean you're going to have to perform it in any day, but you can use it as a tool. The keyboard is a great tool, as I'm sure the guitar would be too, but in a different way, to write, to arrange, to only make little lines that you can sing, or to work on improvisation, just to be a more complete artist, really.
Have you considered working with a horn section for future recording to further give more color to what you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. In fact, working with this Newport now 60 ensemble, and I mentioned Randy Brecker and Anat Cohen are in it, and I'm actually one of the horn players in a sense, because we do, I just sing lines with them sometimes. I'm not always singing lyrics, which I used to do a lot more of in earlier recordings. But yes, it reminded me how much I like to work with horn players. I did feature a beautiful horn player on our CD called Round Midnight, Bob Shepherd. And in fact, he's going to be playing with us at Birdland in May. So yes, answer is yes, and I am looking forward to doing more of that.
What's the most difficult challenge of being a touring artist these days?
Air travel is very challenging. Just keeping your energy on the road is challenging. I mean, for me, getting out and exercising and getting enough sleep are two of the most important things. Keeping a sense of humor is very, very important. And a sense of yourself, so that when stuff goes awry, and it will, in everyone's life, but especially on the road, that you can just kind of keep focused and move ahead and as best you can.
What kind of things can go awry on the road?
Well, as I sort of alluded to, flights, ground transportation, all the logistical part of it. You arrive to the venue and for a sound check, and you're probably going to be quite tired and worn out, and maybe something possibly won't go right in that. So you just kind of have to forge ahead. Those things can go wrong. You can get sick. You have to sing anyway and play anyway. Stuff like that.
Do you have any plans for future projects coming down the road?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of originals that I want to put out, as a matter of fact. And I hope that that's going to be coming out this year. On Yuletide Hideaway, we did some originals, which I'm proud of. That's sort of a maiden voyage. I do have some originals on other projects, as you might be aware, Sweet Home Cooking Man for one and a few others, but I want to do a whole original project next time.
You've come a long way as a vocalist in the last 15 years. If you had to do it all over again, would you do anything different?
I think what I might do differently is be a little kinder to myself, and the fact that you can't do it all, you can't be everything to everybody, and confidence is so important working with top-notch players, but you have to give yourself a break because we're all, you know, trying our best to tell stories through this music, and I guess that's one thing I would say is just to kind of give yourself a break.
If you could travel back in time to a previous history in jazz, which artist would you like to meet in person?
Oh my. Wow. Well, I would love to sit down and have a cup of, a cocktail or something with Carmen McRae, if she'd be willing. I adore her style, her intellect, and her humor, and her swing ability. And she played great piano, and she chose great songs. That would be one person. So many, it's a great question. I'd love to meet Joni Mitchell. She's still here, of course, but who wouldn't? And let's see. Oh, Jobim. I'd love to meet Antonio Carlos Jobim.